He's 100% right. There's other crazies like that.
There's other crazies. So, so we're all talking about what we unleashed last week, and today's September 17th, 2013, and we're having a group discussion here about the crazies, the crazy energies that have been unleashed since last week. We accessed the deepest wound for all humanity, for all time, individually and collectively, which has probably never been accessed, at least in this way, at this time in any known history that we've known, of getting positioned to acknowledge and heal our most primal wounding, which is separation from source. So it's easy to say those words, but as we were actually confronting that and working with the karmic imprints of that, so to speak, last week, we got so deep. Wasn't that a deep call?
Mm-hmm.
That was a really pivotal energetic moment. So it's interesting. We've all been having kind of like Halloween weeks. A little early. Where we've all been experiencing what I would say like ghouls and goblins and things that go, dark shadows that go bump in the night. Yeah, and what we were talking about a few minutes ago is that, and Yogi Bhajan talked about this, is as we, that there are certain energies that are held in, hold us in place. It's not just like, oh, I think I'll change, that'll be easy. That when we, what he says is that when we actually change, in other words, open up to a higher frequency or more light within ourselves, that we will be tested. We're tested to see if we can stabilize in that frequency, stabilize our consciousness in that higher frequency. So we literally have to confront, quote unquote, the demons or the dark shadows or the cloud layer that's been holding us in a certain position. And that's why they always talk about, you know, with addicts and things, that they have to go back into a different environment once they've changed. So it's the same thing for us metaphorically, that we're confronted with the environment, and it could be the subconscious. We don't know what it is. It could be the density on the planet has held us in a certain position. So we are literally being shown in different ways, and we're all experiencing very kind of interesting ways, noises and sounds and smells. The shadow pieces that have been in a certain position with us. So we are going through these layers, and as we clear them, we get to see literally the ghouls or the goblins flying away from us that have held us in certain positions in our consciousness. And what we're really talking about, that we started talking about last week, is as we can actually stabilize our consciousness, our identity in our third eye as divine beings, then we start to literally be able to cut through the darkness of the ignorance of suffering on the planet and for ourselves and for others. So now I'm calling it the Buddha point or the Christ point or the mastery point. And that's the tipping point that as we're moving into these frequencies, we're actually doing. And I had the thought of, to start with the people on this call, if you like, at some point, that I would actually interview you, and we could interview each other, and talk about what our journey has been to this mastery point. Because starting with Guru Gobind Singh and the Amrit ceremony, where he gave the power of the guruship into the body of the Khalsa, each one of us has the ability to hold the mastery point, which is based on being able to hold the frequency of our identity as divine beings rather than what we've been trained to do in 3D and with the patriarchy. Our most people's identity is not stable. And until we can hold that stability in our third eyes, then we're not able to vibrate at that frequency of a master. So it would be interesting to really acknowledge your journey, how you've gotten to that place of the divine. So what I was saying a minute ago is that as we can hold the source point of our identity stabilized with divine frequency rather than with the animal or human identities, once we can stabilize, now we're like a laser cutting through, like Guru Gobind Singh taking his sword and cutting off the heads of the five beloved ones, the Panch Piyari, but it was actually said he had a goat or something in the tent. We don't really imagine that he cut off people's heads and then put them back on. But people were really scared when they saw him come out from the tent with the sword dripping with blood. So the illustration of Guru Gobind Singh calling for those who would sacrifice their heads, of course, meaning sacrifice their limited belief system, sacrifice their mental thoughts for the higher truth, stabilize in the divine self. When he asked for those who would sacrifice for higher truth, for the Khalsa, and he had five people came forward, the Panch Piyari, the five beloved ones, and one by one, he took them into the tent and came back with the sword. So everybody was getting more and more afraid that they would be killed. We're getting some breathing sound, something. So whoever that is, probably go ahead and mute yourself. Okay, thank you. Yeah, when we can move into the breath penetrating the body, like the light. I'm thinking we're still needing someone to star six, because we're getting some pretty interesting sounds. So if you haven't star six, could you try? We're getting those sounds. Star six, we're getting some pretty intense sounds. I don't know what they are. We're getting the sounds. Kind of interrupting the call.
Wow.
I don't know what those sounds are, do you?
That's a crazy sound.
Those are ghoulish sounds. Sounds like, okay, good. Whoever just star six, that did it. Well, that was a beautiful illustration of... Thank you. It couldn't have been more perfect. Right then, we got to have an example of the dark trying to interfere.
There you go. I was just saying, those are the
noises. It couldn't have been more perfect, could it? That's hilarious. Oh, my gosh. And there we have it, a perfect illustration of what we were trying to talk about. Couldn't have been more perfect. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
That was weird.
That was wild. Yeah, so we're talking about through all the interference, you know, through all the distractions of 3D, once we can stabilize our consciousness and align our consciousness with the divine blueprint, now we can cut through the suffering in 3D, which is the illusion, but it's also real, of the separation from source. And this is what I started talking about last week, the place where we are in this place in time, in her story, in his story, in the story, the main story. How we accept the fact and heal that primal wound, which is separation from source, which has to do with acceptance. Acceptance that we are divine creator beings with a divine blueprint, and we're also in 3D physical form, and we also feel things, and we suffer, we see suffering around us, and the acceptance is that it's all part of us, and that we not only are the divine blueprint, and we are creator beings, but part of us also agree to created the separation, the wounding, the illusion. So when we're in that perfect divine state and we're not in a body, we're just floating and we don't even know or experience suffering. So there's a part of ourselves that, like when we're in the womb of our mother's belly, that we don't even have a consciousness of being separate from anything, or a consciousness of suffering, or an identity that identifies with suffering. So that's the pivotal piece, that when we can move back into, we have to pre-will, use our free will, use our choice to now move back into that identity of divinity, even though we've been through 8.4 million lifetimes of something physical, some kind of type of physical incarnation. So that's the piece, that's the chess move. We were originally merged with the divine and did not know suffering, and we're totally in our divinity, but we didn't have our own identity within that merged state. So part of us chose to go into the suffering of separation in order to gain to win the game, so to speak, to gain the knowledge of our divinity with our own identity. So we get both. So that's the piece, that is the prize, that's the golden ring as we ride on the merry-go-round of life, that we reach out and we can grab the golden ring. So the mastery piece, and I said it would be interesting to interview people and find out how they've moved through whatever, you know, their life's journey in order to stabilize and get back to the place where we have our own identities, and we're back in that identification with the divine blueprint. So we've, in other words, we've cut through, in that divine consciousness, we're able to cut through suffering and see deeper to the place where there is the divinity, there is the divine blueprint, there is that place where we are united and where suffering ends. And of course, that's where we've seen the illustrations throughout history of all the stories of the masters. So, you know, I just talked about Guru Gobind Singh, and then we have, you know, when you think, of course, like of Jesus, the archetype of being crucified and still moving into his divine blueprint, as he was merging back into the vine, and he said, "Father, please forgive them. They know not what they do." So once we can move back into our identity of the divine blueprint, the experience of oneness, then we literally leave behind our identity with suffering. And it doesn't mean that we won't experience ghouls and goblins, but we keep coming back and we keep stabilizing in that identity. And then once we do become the light of the Christ, we do become the light of Buddha, the same thing, where Siddhartha Gautama Buddha was a, we have a lot of history, was a very, born to a very wealthy king who didn't want him to know suffering as a child. So he kept him inside a gilded cage inside the palace grounds and only dressed him in the finest clothes and only fed him the finest foods, which were all served by youthful, healthy people, and he'd never seen suffering. And then when he was a teenager, he was playing a game with his friends and hide-and-seek, and he decided to jump over the palace wall and hide on the other side of the wall. And it was his first time that he'd seen suffering. He saw misery and pain and rotting food and, you know, people that were sick and rotting bodies. And at that time, he made a decision to end suffering in the whole world. And so he left the gilded walls of the palace and wandered and became very, he went to all the teachers and all the mystery schools and all the sadhus and gurus of the time. And he became very discouraged until he sat down after years of wandering under the Bodhi tree and went inside and reconnected with his own divinity and realized that the end to suffering is accepting your own divinity, your own divine blueprint. So once we can merge our own identity with our own divine blueprint, then that heals our primal wound of separation, and then we're reunited with our divine selves and with the knowledge of who we are. So it's the knowledge, like in Adam and Eve, Eve eating the apple, and she ate of the fruit of good and evil. So that we can eat of the fruit of good and evil and stabilize in the good, then we can live in the garden. So that's where we are on the planet. How can we make the earth make a garden again? So as each of us individually, and I'm specifically at this moment talking about people on the call, and of course many people on the planet are doing this, but as we individually are able to see the divinity, then the suffering literally falls away from ourselves and for others, and the ghouls have to fly away. And the example of the miracles of Jesus or Buddha or any of the teachers of Guru Gobind Singh, the miracle of Jesus healing the lepers, where the way he healed the lepers was that he actually sat with them out of compassion. And empathy is compassion in action. So he totally felt their suffering and misery and wasn't afraid of them and washed their wounds and moved into acceptance of their suffering, of their pain. And that when they felt that there was someone with them totally accepting them as they were with all of their misery and outward looking form that was so repugnant to everyone, probably especially themselves, and they could feel that he was there with them, then when he actually merged with them in empathy, in other words, he could open his heart to them and just love them as they were, and then he saw beyond that, beyond their leprosy, that there was a part of them that was whole and complete. He could see the truth of their divine blueprint, then they being able to feel each other and the lepers being able to feel Jesus, then he could basically transfer the consciousness to them of their divinity, and they were just instantly healed. And I know that we all do that to greater and lesser degrees, but the more powerful that we can shine our divine light through and look through the eyes of the divine soul onto the world that is still in suffering, the more we're able to return Gaia the planet to Eden, and that's the path that we're on, and that's what the pivotal point we started talking about last week, and what we're moving into with the equinox coming up, the fall equinox on the 21st. So we have Mercury in Libra right now. So when the mind can become hold the divine, when the mind can hold the divine in balance with the suffering on earth in the garden, we can return into a balanced state and begin to unwind the suffering, the imbalance on the planet. So that's what we're here doing, and yes, we're still here doing that. Thank you, everybody, for continuing the mission, the long and windy road. Okay, let's take a breath. Thank you. Thank you for breathing into the body, mind, and soul. The mind follows the breath, and the body follows the mind. We know as yogis. I had an interesting experience. We went to, a friend of mine was visiting over the weekend. She was at Bhakti Fest, singing and emceeing, and she was in one of the teacher trainings I led a few years back. And we went to have a fire on the beach here in Coronado, where I live. And it was really, it was very beautiful, it was very purifying. We were drumming and just burning through the dross of what we've all been talking about, clearing the shadows of darkness, just clearing the energies, just burning them, burning the karma. I don't even know what we were burning, but transmuting the lower frequencies with the right there by the waters and the moon. And it was really very beautiful, kind of ceremonial moment. And then one of my friends was leaving, and so I was walking her back to her car. And we were standing in a park across from the beach, and she said a few minutes ago that she had psychically seen some ETs land. And where the beach and the fire pit are right by a Navy base here on Coronado. And we were looking at the lights on where the airplanes land, and she was laughing, saying, yeah, the ETs told her that they used the lights to land. It was funny. So we're standing in this field, this big park, and we're just standing there talking, and then we felt kind of this, like we got beamed, a frequency beam of energy, like we got probed. And so we're standing there, it got our attention, we thought, oh, the ETs are getting our attention, and then they were tuning into us. And so what we experienced was that they were using us as a point, a reference point to hone their frequencies so they could do their work, but they needed embodied humans that they could stabilize off of so they could get a reading of what they needed to do. It felt like we were triangulating, like it came into us like a triangle, and then it went back out to the ship. And it was funny. What we saw was that they were like a cleanup crew, and then we saw these images of kind of like these big vacuum cleaners, but it was just an image. They were literally like cleaning up the area from radiation and pollution. It's a big Navy base that planes and radiation and all this stuff. They were literally sent down to clean up some of the radiation and, you know, the polluting frequencies and everything. And it was like they were sucking them up. It was really funny. And then after that happened, we felt all this golden light come down. And it was like a blessing, like, okay, they're blanketing the area. But it was so funny that we got to see that. So there's an example of some good things happening on the planet sent from these other dimensions and other beings that are working with us to help restore the planet to its divine state. So, thank you, everybody. There's a lot more astrology and things we could go through. Let's see. Saturn is joined with the north node of the moon at 8 degrees of Scorpio, and Venus has gone into Scorpio. And Venus going into Scorpio is joining with Saturn and the north node of the moon. So see, the last time we had Saturn conjunct the north node of the moon, it was in 2002. So this is like about an 11-year cycle. So Saturn is objectivity, so how we actually are able to process what we're talking about, balancing the divine with the suffering on the planet, is working with Saturn. Saturn's giving us that stability and objectivity. Saturn is Kronos, Father Time. So it helps us stabilize and look at the long-range picture. So we've got some aspects. And as we said, with the Mercury in Libra, that's balance coming up to the equinox. And the north node of the moon, that's the collective, where we're going collectively, collective consciousness. That, so we've got to balance time and space with the mother energy, with Gaia, with Earth. In other words, getting back into rhythm, the natural rhythms with the Earth, like noticing how we're living on the Earth rather than artificial time. And that's one of the big teachings of the Mayans, is how we get that. They're saying that the calendar that we're mostly used now, I don't know if we call it the Roman calendar or whatever, takes us out of the natural rhythms of the Earth. So their calendar is based on 13 moons, which is more of a natural rhythm, and that when people can get back into a natural rhythm with the Earth, then that will stop the destruction of the planet, because we have so many artificial rhythms and we're out of balance with the Earth. Then we start not knowing how to live in balance with the Earth, and that's where the destruction starts, because we're not feeling the Earth. So this is a time period with that north node of the moon to move into our feeling, our divine feminine, our flow, our feeling nature, so that we can feel good and be in balance with the Earth. Anyway, that's a lot. There's more. Would anybody like to share? And then anything before we go into a little meditation? We can meditate and then we can share. Shall we do that? Okay. So we're going to move into a little echo car for the oneness, for the balance of the divine masculine and divine feminine. And then we'll check in. Bhajan is again suggesting for this coming week is alternate nostril breathing for balance and to walk on the earth and talk to the earth and see what the trees and the earth and the animals, what messages they have to tell us. And we can share that next week. Beautiful. Would anybody like to share anything? Thoughts, feelings, reflections? Ghouly stories.
Ghouly stories, no.
No ghouly stories, okay.
That was a great meditation. It was so peaceful and beautiful.
Thank you. Wasn't that a funny story about the ETs coming in to clean up the area?
Yes.
That's great.
And finally, they're like, he had these giant vacuum cleaners. I think it was just an image they were showing us, and like they were sucking up the toxins, the radiation up. It was like...
Oh, that's great.
That made me feel a little better, because I feel like I live in such a toxic environment sometimes. Well, at least we're getting a little help from the Galactics, you know, so we don't have to feel completely alone.
Yeah, I think these glimpses of truth and reality are wonderful. It's such an encouragement to continue.
Yeah. You sound a little lighter, Arete.
I wanted to tell you that this meditation gave me a glimpse of the equinox energy.
Oh, good.
Mm. I'm like, okay, the peaceful is around the corner. I just have to go there.
Yes. Just I think things are going to get better after the equinox. Yeah.
Yay, we need it.
Yay. Well, I appreciate everybody being here. I'm grateful.
We are too. Are very, very grateful for every help we can get.
I'm grateful we're all here together. So,
well, when we hook up next week, it will be all over. So just another 4 or 5 days.
Another few more days. Exactly.
I know. I do feel it. I do feel that it's right around the corner. I feel the energy are coming and, you know, and elevating us. I don't feel that pull anymore that I felt the whole month.
Yeah, I'm actually feeling it too. I'm feeling some relief, and I'm feeling that more relief is coming. Yes, because I have felt that kind of, that pull, really fighting the darkness.
It feels like it lessens, and then you might have one day where it feels a little rough, and then it just seems to dissipate, and I feel better.
I do have to say something, Guru Karen, that we do count. I mean, with the war with Suri, I breathe into that Surya land light and light. I mean, light workers are doing an unbelievable job.
Mm-hmm.
So we are making it. I mean, it doesn't look like that, and the rest of the world are thinking completely different. But I know in my heart that we make a tremendous difference in turning everything around. There's no war. Nobody is going to have a war. They're not bombing Syria. They're not doing any of that.
Yeah.
So, and that's the credit to the light workers and showers and all, you know. We're doing an unbelievable job. So that makes me feel good.
And I really appreciate you saying that, because that's so true. And again, you know, it's not being really acknowledged, you know, like we turn the news on or whatever, which I don't really do anymore, but, you know, I've watched the news enough times to know what it is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I totally feel that in when Arete speaks and when we're all together and, you know, when we meditate. I totally feel the huge impact of light that is coming like waves onto the planet, and it is going to be shown more and more, so we will be moving more into that connected feeling of things getting better on the planet. We're very close. Closer than we think is what I hear Yogi Bhajan saying. Mm-hmm. And we are being acknowledged by him also. So.
That's wonderful. That is really wonderful. And this peaceful quiet from Surya, I enjoy that. For now, nobody's doing anything and nobody's panicking and taking action. Which is really wonderful.
Yeah, totally wonderful. Good. Yeah. It's totally wonderful.
Yay!
Congratulations. Thank you, everybody.
Lightworkers.
Lightworkers unite.
Yes.
A lightworkers union.
I'm down.
And now we affirm that we soon get paid. I'll just throw that in there. The Lightworkers Union gets paid.
Oh, good.
Well, if we get paid, we'll be even more powerful because we can do all these programs all over the planet, not just locally, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm thinking, I mean, we'll just travel to different places.
And go around and open healing centers.
That's what we want to do. I just want to open healing centers in lots of places. Here's my thought. One of my thoughts is that we go to these different places. Like, I have a lot of, we can all co-create who we, you know, people that want to open up centers in their area, and there's a lot of people that I've trained in my teacher trainings, you know, personally, and other people. Go to, you know, these beautiful people, and where they want to open centers, we get the resources, we help them open their centers, and then each center has, of course, many offerings, but a particular area of expertise that people want to bring through. And I'm imagining the whole thing would be like Kundalini University, like with all these different campuses. So people can go to different places all over the world. Well, maybe here people want to study more about, you know, Ayurveda and diet. And maybe in this, and it's based on what people's interests are in the different areas. So each of the healing centers would be like, you know, a little campus with different courses. Isn't that a great vision?
Love it.
Yeah.
I love that intention.
So that's,
you know, mine is for children too. I have a dream to have something, a healing situation for children that whose families don't have the funding to be able to take care of them.
Oh, wow. I love that. Yeah. So I'm really excited about us.
Okay, show me the money.
Creating our visions together. It's our next step.
That is beautiful.
Any time between now and the equinox is fine, Spirit, for our funding to come through. And say what we want.
So we'll tell our galactic friends of heaven, show us the money.
Show us the money. Shine the light on it.
I have one last question. Where do you get those, that mat you were talking about, the amethyst mat, the bio mat?
Oh, I bought it through a friend, actually. It's an MLM thing. So if you look online, I think they have them on Amazon, actually.
Amazon, right.
And you should, you know, see if you can get, it's up to you, but, you know, if you get a used one or something, they're not as expensive. They're pretty expensive, but I love it. It's really been helping me, you know, kind of manage the energy.
Okay, well, I'll look.
Yeah, they're really great. Wow, I feel better now. Thank you, everybody. I feel put back together when I can put together parts of myself.
Oh, my God.
The other
it's nice
to
have a group I fit in with.
It's a nice place for all of us weirdos to get together.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to have some place where we're accepted.
Exactly.
Thank you for saying that. That was so perfect to say it to me.
That was
great.
That's totally perfect. I feel much better now. My heart feels healed.
Just the fact that we can laugh at yourself is beautiful.
And I do want to, I think it's okay for me to say this because one of my previous yoga students who lives in Maui is getting married, actually in April, but she's moving from her house in Maui that she owns to her husband's house. She said she's moving out of her house in January and that we can have some time, January, February time period, probably it's going to be January, where we can get together in her house. It's going to be empty, but she's going to have bedding and stuff there.
That's so nice.
That's a huge breakthrough that we can meet there. It won't be that expensive because we can give her some money and share money for food and kind of live for the retreat. So I just found that out like 2 days ago. So that was a big breakthrough.
Wow.
So I'll just put that out there and I'll find out more from her. And, but I think that could be a really great co-creation.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about that. And, you know, good things are happening.
By then, you're going to be rich because the ceremony is going to come through
exactly.
And your dinar is going to come through.
Exactly.
You know, so you're going to be loaded.
By then, we're going to be rich. That'll be one of our points where we maybe set up a center or something. Anyway, yeah, it'll be fun to get there and work with, you know, be on the islands and work with that energy. So it'll be great.
It will be unlimited traveling.
It will be.
Yay.
So I thought that was a good sign. So thank you, Yogi Bhajan.
Thank you, Master.
For bringing us little tidbits through to look forward to. They keep us hanging on, right?
Yeah.
I need little gifts to keep me going, you know. So it was a gift that I got to see the ET cleaning up the island where I live. Yes, and now I think you can see it. Grand Pal. There's that noise again. So, yeah, so we'll just keep counting our blessings.
Yes.
And our blessing for being together today. Thank you, everybody. Love you all.
Love you all,
love
too.
You guys.
Okay, I'll talk to you all soon. Sat Nam. Bye.
Bye.